Welcome to the Exposé Podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Molly.
And we're just a couple of goofy gals here to tell you about topics and get down to the real nitty-gritty of it all.
We are here to help you navigate through the confusing ins and outs of hot topics and get down to the truth.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned and listen to our next topic.
Thanks for listening to the Exposé. From the Exposé, this week we are going to do something a little bit different. We have some conflicts, and so it's just me this week, but I do have a couple of guests to help me out. They are both recent college graduates, and we're just going to kind of talk about how the current situation with the pandemic and coronavirus has affected what they're going through as they graduate. So first off, I have Matthew here.
Hi, I'm Matthew. I'm a recent graduate from the Greenlee School at Iowa State with a journalism degree.
Thank you, Matthew. And then we have Will here as well.
Hi, I am Will. I'm a recent graduate as well.
What did you graduate with, Will?
I got my MFA in creative writing at Minnesota State University, Mankato.
Okay. And full disclosure, Will is my husband and Matthew is my brother. So we are following social distancing guidelines within the family core here. First off, I guess, obviously it was a little bit of a different experience than you were probably expecting for graduation. What was the first thing that kind of made you think that maybe you wouldn't be having your school year? Like, did you know right away? Were you kind of waiting to see what would happen?
Well, I was at work, and I knew pretty early on what was gonna, because I work at a, or I worked at the one of the dining centers on campus, and I knew pretty early that the management was kind of thinking about either canceling work for the rest of the year or just for a few weeks, because that was right before spring break in March.
Okay.
And they thought that something was going to happen, and all the coworkers were kind of just, you know, not really working and just looking at their phones to see if we were about to get something from the college about work, and then we did, and then they said it was going to go to early April or late March, and then they decided to just cancel the entire thing, and they sent out an email saying you're all laid off.
Okay, so did the job, did that come first before the school made the announcement?
Yeah, job was first, and then the president of the college sent out an email a few days later into spring break about the entire school year just being canceled.
So, yeah, how did it happen for you, Will?
Well, we had spring break, and then after the spring break, they said we'll give an extra week to allow teachers to decide what they're going to do and how they're going to structure their classes going further. Then they gave an extra week, and then they decided just to do everything online, so.
Okay. Did you guys think at first that it was going to be permanent for the rest of the year? Like, were you like, I bet this is permanent, or were you thinking, oh, this is just going to be a couple weeks. Like, what was the general feeling that you were getting from people?
Well, I thought it was going to be the rest of the year, but that's pretty much just because I was talking to management at the dining center, and as soon as they were hearing that there were cases in Iowa, they knew that it was just done, pretty much.
Gotcha, okay.
I had no idea what to think. Basically, when they pushed it back a week, I was like, oh, well, I guess we're going back in a week, and then it was when they pushed it back another week, I knew that, well, they can't go on add a third week of spring break, so I was like, well, at that point, maybe I thought there's a chance that it was going to be online, but
yeah. So at first, it just started out as extra spring break, which I guess it's kind of exciting.
You still have assignments and stuff.
Yeah, I had a thesis that I was putting together, or trying to put together, so.
So I guess, were you, like, relieved, or were you kind of worried? I mean, I guess for me, as I am not, well, I'm taking online classes, but I was mostly working. It was almost like watching a snowstorm come when I was in grade school and thinking like, oh, we're going to have a snow day and like waiting for that. Of course, it's not the same because people are getting sick and that kind of thing. But there was just kind of that element of something was happening and it was potentially going to cancel stuff. I don't want to say it was exciting, but it was a little bit kind of like...
It's different.
Yeah, different.
Yeah. I had 3 online classes and 3 on-campus classes.
Like, to begin with, before...
Yeah, and my online classes didn't change really, but my offline classes really struggled to find the balance, kind of, and...
Okay.
It made it definitely a lot harder to know what was going on, because the teachers had no idea either, really.
Yeah. And so I, like I said, I've been taking online classes, and I've gone to college in person in the past, and I just wondered, like, when everything switched to online, did you feel like it was easier? Did you feel like it was harder? How did your classes change? And, like, were you having to suddenly do a lot more assignments? How'd it work?
Don't think my classes changed too much, other than the workload was reduced some, just because there was less time in the classroom, but... Going back to your previous question, for me, I guess I was a little bit relieved, but at the same time disappointed, because not only did it mean everything was canceled in the classroom, but also all the events were canceled. Since I had like my thesis reading that was canceled, and I had a bunch of like graduation parties and stuff like that were canceled, that felt kind of like the end of the program that I was in sort of went out like with a whimper instead of like a celebratory thing. And
yeah.
I finally finished the program, since I had been in this sort of situation where everything was from home and never really going anywhere, I didn't really feel like I completed anything. It just really felt like I was, all the days were bleeding together somewhat. So I think it sort of robbed me of having this sort of like sense of accomplishment.
Satisfaction.
Okay. Yeah. And so I'm glad everybody was safe and everything like that. And I mean, some of the thing, like the reading and other stuff, I'm sure I would have been stressed to the gills trying to do, but at the same time, I think it would also have granted me some sort of feeling that I'd done something, or I had accomplished something. So
yeah, I guess just kind of, I know what it is, obviously, but you talked about the thesis reading, and that's kind of like the culmination of your 3 years in the program. What would that have been like if you would have done it?
Well, a lot of thesis, sort of like a pseudo thesis defense, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Where you, since this is a creative field, basically you read work from your thesis, which mine was a short story collection, and then there's a half hour of questioning and whatnot. So really, I wouldn't even call it a defense. It's mostly kind of, the questions are pretty softballs. But yeah, I think it's less about kind of like trying to defend your work and say why you deserve the MFA or the degree, and more about kind of like a final celebration.
Yeah, like a showcase.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I think that was one thing that I was looking forward to. We mixed feelings about, because I was really stressed about it, but at the same time, I was looking forward to doing it and having people say how great I was and all that stuff.
Do you think you got the same type of feedback that you would have gotten if you would have done the reading? Like, how do you feel? Did you have the experience, a similar experience, or do you feel like it wasn't?
I think I got more feedback than I normally would have, because I had a second reader for my thesis that really didn't do much, or I didn't do anything, I guess. But yeah, the thesis and everything was pushed back from April 10th. Original deadline was to May 8th. So I had a little extra time to do some like phone call meetings and just email correspondence with my first reader, my thesis advisor, even though I could tell he was waning as well of doing this, just being maybe being stir crazy and just wanting to get all this over with. But yeah, so I think I got a little bit more advice than I probably most people in the past have gotten for their thesis, just because I had more time to complete it. So,
did you have any type of end projects or anything like that, Matthew?
I had a performance class kind of thing, oral interpretation. Or we would have to do little skits and things like that to learn how, like, the spoken word affects the written word. Some, like, low-level acting type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It filled out the credits that I needed for my minor, performing arts minor. And that class was really difficult because moving to the online space just didn't work for it at all.
How did that work? Like, was it, if it's performance-based, like, how would you, what did they end up doing?
Pretty much just record stuff and send it in. But the final project was a group project, and the teacher didn't understand, I guess, that that doesn't work. If you're trying to do a group performance on, say, Zoom or a Yeah. Or just like pre-recorded thing. It just doesn't work.
So did you guys get together or did you try to do it over Zoom?
You have to do it over Zoom.
Okay.
And it just, the structure of the class didn't seem to change that much for the pandemic. I kind of just gave up at the end because it wasn't worth the time. And I was, regardless of the project, I was going to get an A anyways. So I didn't really care. But a couple of the classes did go really well. It depended on how online the class was. In general, I had one that we were learning the Adobe products like Photoshop and InDesign and stuff. And that was a higher level class where our final project was a group project, but it was possible because it was all online stuff. We were making like an MSO, a website. The college had like quote unquote hired us to make kind of this little recruitment website for undergraduates.
Okay.
And we did that. That was our side of it. Like another group would do graduate college, another group would do like PR. I feel like that one went really well because in the end, we all got together, all the people in the class and some of the people from the college to like professors and the director of journalism there. We presented it and then they asked us questions and that class was kind of like my graduation ceremony.
Okay.
I feel because it was kind of like the end.
Feel like the school or your teachers and whoever provided the right technology or took advantage of the technology that's out there as we, you know, as the world moves further in technology, obviously we have all this at our disposal, but do teachers know how to use it? Do you think that there was...
I feel like they didn't teach them how to do it very much.
Okay.
But I do feel like they provided the right technology. I think the teachers was a teacher-to-teacher basis, pretty much. Like, one professor would know all how it works just because they do. And then another one really would know absolutely nothing. Like, then the case of the performing mm-hmm. class, she knew absolutely nothing about how to teach an online class, I could tell.
Yeah.
And my other teacher, the Adobe class, that's all online stuff anyways, so she knew how all that stuff works. She had personal meetings with us on mm-hmm. Zoom with her camera and stuff so we could see each other. And she had that final meeting was really well set up and we had all these stuff. And as well as textbooks and stuff. I don't buy textbooks because I think it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
But they allowed us free access to all textbooks.
Oh, okay.
Through a website, an online version of the textbook.
That would be so cool if they could just do that normally.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I know it's...
I took advantage of that a lot and it was really useful.
I mean, I don't know if a school, maybe it would make tuition more expensive or something, but if they could just buy like the license to that so that textbooks can still make money, but it's just something that can get very expensive for...
Because I had an online class that was strictly like, look at this, look A mm-hmm. through Q or whatever, do that. But it was really useful to just have it online, be able to do it at home anytime.
Yeah. And I've had some of my textbooks, like, while I've been doing online classes online, too. And it's kind of nice because a lot of the time there's some extra features, like you can search for a word or something
or
like
page.
That. Yeah, and that you can't do on a regular textbook. It's nice to have that feel in your hand and be able to read it with, you know, without eye fatigue and that kind of thing.
Well.
But at the same time, it's nice to be able to search the document or to, like, have a chart that's, you know, you can keep up on your screen while you're doing homework. I would be interested. I know neither of you really were in, like, science or math-heavy classes, but just from my own experience, like, how would you learn calculus online? I think that would be pretty difficult.
Well, can't you speak about, you know, those online labs you were doing, which were kind of interesting?
I guess I did have, my school was obviously set up to be online, but I was taking a class that had to do with learning about forensics and like bones and that kind of thing. So what they did was they set up like a virtual lab and they must have gone and taken pictures, like 3D model pictures of a bunch of stuff that they have in their in-person lab. And they put that online and like you go to the website and it's like you walk into like a classroom and then they have like a table over here with some skulls sitting on it. And then you can click on the skull and like it enlarges and then you can rotate it and look at stuff. So it's kind of, not the same as hands-on, but you still get to see that and answer questions. It was just kind of cool that they had that set up. And I don't know if you know, if you start off in person, maybe that's not something you'd think about doing. And I don't know how long it takes to set up a website, maybe longer than spring break.
Yeah.
But
And I think that's the biggest problem. It wasn't the fact, well, Matthew's right, some teachers are just more inept when it comes to technology than others. I can imagine being a performing arts teacher and knowing, like,
just being forced to go online.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure she, most of her, when she teaches, you know, especially something like acting, that's something. But yeah, I bet you time was the biggest restraint when it came
to. I don't blame any of them. I just know it worked better.
Did you feel like, you know, the world revolves around money? Did you feel like you got your money's worth for that last semester?
Well, that's kind of a trick question because the college also gave me kind of almost a refund, it felt like.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I was interested in to know, because a lot of times, you know, you're paying for facility fees and you're paying for time. And I'm not going to say that it takes less time to teach a class online, but it seems like maybe it would. I don't know.
It depends, because some teachers think that they have to pile up more homework. I have a friend who definitely had an increased workload when it went online.
And then they have to grade all that homework, too.
Yeah, so it depends on the teacher and the...
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Same with... the workshop was basically the same, but, like, that class, film studies class, from just going into a room for an hour and a half...
Talking
and just asking questions in that hour and a half span. He not only did a pair of the PowerPoint and stuff, I guess he didn't have to lecture, but he also made, you know, like, what, 16, 17 people in that class all write posts and respond to other people's posts three times a week. So, yeah, I think it really depends on the teacher
what
they wanted to do.
Because I know a lot of people were kind of complaining or worried about that monetary factor and getting their value if they got as much out of those classes, or if they should have been refunded for computer fees or whatever it may be, activity fees, that kind of thing. And you said that the school did help you out. How did they help you out?
Well, because I'm a dependent on my parents still in taxes, tax speak, I didn't get anything from the first check from the government. Maybe
the stimulus.
The stimulus package. I didn't get the $1,200. I didn't get the $500 because that was for 17. I think it was 17 and younger, maybe 16 or something. So I didn't get a penny from that. But the ISU dining that I worked at gave me $500 for just to cover, pretty much.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool because, I mean, you're just because you're still being counted as a dependent on your parents' taxes doesn't mean you're not renting an apartment and paying for your own food and stuff down there, and you had a job where you could do that, but obviously.
And I think that from ISU dining was pretty much just out of pocket or out of their funding, but I did get another $1,000 from the college then after that. Mm-hmm. That was from a pot that was from state government or something like that. They said they got like some amount of millions from some government agency that they were giving out to. I have a friend that got $2,000 from that.
Oh.
I have a friend that got $600 from that.
How did they figure that, I wonder?
I feel like it's...
I thought it was a flat $1,000 across the board.
Well, it's something that can be taken advantage of, and I'm sad that I didn't more. But you pretty much just go into their website, so say your name, your reason for the money that you need, and then you put two amounts, your rent and your food. And if I would have put $1,000 for each, then they would have probably given me $2,000.
Well,
if I put $1,500 for each, they might have given me $3,000. And they have asked no questions to anybody that I've talked to. So it feels like they're really just handing it
out. Obviously, you're going to have people that take advantage of that, which is, I guess, kind of sad. But it is nice also that it wasn't a bunch of hoops to jump through, because I know...
It was really easy.
Yeah, like unemployment, for example. And I know you had experience with that, too.
Yeah, I couldn't draw from unemployment because I haven't paid enough into taxes.
Yeah, because you'd had full-time school, so you weren't working 40 hours a week. Yeah, you were only working...
like 10 or 15,
pretty
much.
Yeah, but still, it was helping you pay for your rent,
so... Yeah, it was enough to pay for food and rent, and that's all I needed. I mean, you can only work 20 hours a week by college policy, so...
That's cool that they let you... that they didn't make it be a difficult process to get that. So that was an Iowa thing, right?
Yeah, Iowa State.
Iowa State, like the university.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Will, he went to college in Minnesota. I'm not aware that you had that kind of opportunity.
I had no idea. I mean, I got that email about the money, that $300. I didn't even really look into what it was for or why I was getting it. I assume it was coronavirus related, but...
Yeah, so you did get about $300 back from the college.
Yeah. And speaking of, like, the I feel like classes maybe, I don't know, that's tough because my classes are, you know, I think translated pretty well online. But if you're thinking about, like, more facility related, like the gym and the dining center and the housing, my situation going to MSU is a little bit unique, I think, than most people's. I think that's where I would be more frustrated.
Yeah, I agree.
Would be all those things that maybe, you know, if I was living on campus, if I was eating the meals off campus, if I was going to their gyms every day, you know, doing, taking part in some sort of club that required fee, like when those are stripped away, I think maybe that's where people, I think, would be more, at least for me, that's where I'd be more angry about not being.
The dorm as well, like they closed down the dorm.
Yeah. I was going to ask what the policy was, like,
because obviously I was a senior, I wasn't living on campus, but I know that the cheapest one is like $4,200 a semester, which is a lot of money, and I don't, because they'd probably only got less than 3 months in that place, so.
Well, January to the middle of March, kind of, it's like
the March 15th or something.
Yeah, 2.5 months, so. And I didn't know, like, were people allowed to live in the dorms at all, do you know? Or did everybody have to leave?
I didn't see anybody in the dorms past that point. But I'm not sure if there might have been, like, a couple special cases.
Yeah, because, I mean, international students.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. But I didn't, like, I lived at Buchanan. That was about almost 7,000 a semester, which is insane. Yeah. But I never saw anybody go in and out of there either when I would walk or drive by or anything.
And I know there's probably people out there that, for whatever reason, maybe they're not able to go back home to live with their family.
Yeah, I don't know what they would have done. And just in terms of refunds for that, too, I would almost expect like $3,000 of that $6,000 back.
Yeah, if you were told you can't live there anymore. Yeah. That would probably be a big deal, I would say.
Yeah, and just in terms of facilities, too, like Will was saying, like gyms and stuff, like before the pandemic, I would go to the gym 3 or 4 times a week, and I now haven't been there in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't really care anymore because I don't want to catch anything.
I know. We're canceling our gym membership here, just our local gym, because we figure we're not going to go over the summer, especially we live in an area that has a lot of influx of people coming from all around the surrounding states. They use our gym, and I just don't really feel comfortable going to it anymore. I did read that people, for example, were considering staying in school rather than graduating because of essentially the job market right now. I mean, obviously you have to balance out. Yeah, there's the debt factor versus potentially earning more if you stayed in and got like a 2-year master degree, or sometimes there's like a 18-month master program you could tack on.
I do have a friend that's pretty much doing exactly what you're talking about. I don't think he was going to graduate anyways because I don't think he was going to pass like one class that he needed, but he did just kind of decide to go another year or two for a teaching degree instead, and that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people that are just kind of deciding, well, this year didn't count, so I'm going to do something else and take another year or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, especially right now, the earnings to cost ratio, like you wouldn't miss out maybe potentially on that much income. Especially if you can't find a job for a year.
Yeah.
Maybe you would have gotten a certificate or something that would make up for that in the long run.
I'm too scared of debt to do it, but I feel like I got what I went for. I don't feel like the last 3.5 years were also wasted because of this last half year, I guess.
Obviously, school is done, and in a normal circumstances, you would be looking for a job right now. Are you guys still doing that, or are you kind of holding off, or how are you feeling about your chances for being employed in the future?
I've updated my resume and my LinkedIn and a few other things, and I, you know, you go on Indeed or whatever and you apply, but I don't think that really qualifies as job hunting unless you're like really going in for it. I have jobs that I could take, I suppose, but I guess I don't really see myself as job hunting right now. I'm just kind of laying low doing the background work before I actually.
And you did, and you had kind of something that was somewhat set up before you graduated.
Yeah, and it kind of fell through because, I was going to work at a radio station where I interned at for my because you have to enter another place at some place for to graduate in my college. That kind of fell through just because they said that they were told not to hire any on-air talent because there's not much to do. I mean, there's a lot. It seems like there's a lot to do because there's a lot of like COVID-related news.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, there's not anything else. There's no sports. No mm-hmm. advertising, really. There's no... Places aren't open, so we're not going to pay for advertising, so you're not going to get that revenue and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And they said they're just going to push that job opening indefinitely until this ends, and I understand that. I don't think it's unreasonable. I mean, it's sad that I don't get the job, but it's not an unreasonable thing to do, really.
Unemployment is the highest right now that it's been since the 40s. It's sitting about 14.7%, and for college grads, it's higher.
Yeah, I got laid off, from ISU Dining.
People that are in that age group of, like, 16 to 24, it's been tough lately. And I kind of remember this because I actually was getting out of college for the first time back in, like, 2008, 2009, and that was during the Great Recession, and I had a very hard time finding a job, and I did have to move back home after that. I mean, I couldn't even get hired at, like, Cold Stone or Hy-Vee or anything because no place was hiring. I think right now there are some jobs out there, but are they the jobs that as a college graduate you want, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not opposed to working in a place like Walmart or something, but
there are some companies that have had to do hiring freezes just because revenue's not there and that's making it tough.
Places like JCPenney are filing bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
So
have you heard anything from anybody else or... what is your job market looking like, Will? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I sent that email out yesterday.
Is that because of this that you just haven't really been looking, or?
I'll start looking. Don't worry.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know. I figured I'd probably just find my way back to some journalism field or something like that. But yeah, it's tough because any sort of job I get, I mean, I guess maybe this will make it easier because more people will be likely to do remote stuff.
I read that there was about 1.3 million graduates entering the job market, you know, this May. And some good news, I guess, was about 75% of companies surveyed said they were still going to be hiring, like, any jobs that they had promised to people or, you know, jobs that were accepted or internships, they were still going to honor those, which is good because it's really tough, you know, that first they always say you have to have experience to get a job, but you have to get a job to get experience, and mm-hmm. it's really hard to get that first step, I think. So
yeah.
If you had to take some time off, it might make it even tougher. But one thing I did also see, and I guess I'll just ask your opinion on this. I think this article was trying to have an optimistic ending, but they said that there are some good things that come out of this because a lot of people who graduate and have a job hunt like this during recessions, historically, have good character traits. You're happier with your job when you do get it. It says you're less narcissistic and more appreciative.
What?
More appreciative.
Maybe because you just get beaten down as soon as you graduate.
I've been beaten down for years already.
Yeah, you don't have that narcissistic.
What a weird thing to be like, hey.
So it was just one thing that I saw. And another thing that I think is an impact is that people who get a job like right now have a big chance of taking a lower salary than they would have a year ago.
Yeah.
And that can affect somebody for... I saw 7 to 10 years because have to work up through positions or raises. And if you start at a lower salary, it's easier to keep you at a lower salary. Yeah.
You're kind of just begging for the job almost.
Yeah. So that is one thing to kind of think about is how it affects people in the long run. And there's already a lot of talk about, you know, millennials and they're not buying houses and they're drowning in student debt. Well,
I think all that was happening before this.
Yeah. Now, if they're also going to be earning lower salaries, how is that going to affect the economic recovery, the ability of them to pay off their debt? Is there going to be any help for that kind of thing? Who knows?
No.
Well, I mean, it depends, I guess. seems like the government's warming up a bit to the second stimulus package, which would get rid of, I don't know, I don't think it'll happen, but they've been saying that they will get rid of $30,000 of student debt across the board. I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, I
but
can't see that. It'd be cool, but I have a hard time seeing that being passed.
Yeah, I have a hard time. I mean, they say that they're going to renegotiate a bunch of it. I haven't seen that being brought up. The one I've been seeing being brought up is the $600 extra for unemployment checks.
Yeah,
and
that's happening right now.
Yeah, well, that's in that second bill, but the Senate says that they don't like that one, but I haven't seen much about the student one, so I'm not completely ruling it out, but it would definitely help millennials and Gen Z.
Yeah, do you think like programs like that are the way to do it, or letting capitalism run its course? I don't know.
I don't know enough about marketing.
Yeah, you're asking us to fix.
let's fix the world's problems right now. The
financial
problems
of today.
Something people just talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a stretch to just forgive it all, I think, but it is definitely too much of an issue right now to just ignore, which is what I think the House was trying to get done.
I think if they don't do anything for forgiveness of loans, why not, increase the deference, from like 6 months into like 2 years or something, instead of making people...
Because it's not unlikely, but it might be very tough to find a job in that first six months.
Or find a job that you're, I've put in that loan calculator, and if I said I made $500 a week at a job, they're still wanting... It's like, we'll charge you $1,000-some per month on student loans then.
Well, that's kind of ridiculous because that's half of your income.
Yeah. So it's like, they have the income-based payment or whatever. I don't
know. Oh, income-based payment?
But I think that if they just pushed it back before when you first started, have to start paying it back, the money back, or maybe put a hold on everybody paying student loans back for a while. Yeah. If they don't want to get, just kind of wipe it away, which they should. But maybe that would be helpful for people. And I guess not only could they have to push it back, but they'd have to make no interest gain on it
they kind of did in the first round. They did. I don't remember how long it was, but they've deferred all interest on student loans.
Yeah.
I think it was federal.
Loans.
Yeah, I think it was federal. Yeah. For I don't know how long, but
I think it was.
It helps.
Yeah, it does help. If you're in school, it doesn't maybe help as much you're already getting
it helps deferred. Me specifically.
It is a problem. And I don't think it's just related to coronavirus, student loan debt. It's a problem. I mean, I would love to have $30,000 wiped out of my debt. But let me tell you, it would not solve my problem.
It would
solve a lot of people's problems.
I'm pretty sure
probably,
it would get rid of like 95 or 100% of mine, which would be
cool. No, not for me.
You went a little bit longer than I did.
But I guess, do you guys have any final thoughts or anything on like just overarching statements? I don't know, closing thoughts on what next?
Well, I would say try your best to go back to school next semester, because I think just everybody really needs it to just actually go back, because not that it's 100% possible, but I think it would be really good for the students to actually go to a classroom, because it's like, especially the new college students. But if it's not possible, it's not possible. But I think that's the...
Do you think that there will be school on campuses next fall?
I think that as we open up a bit more, just as society go back to work and stuff, I think time will tell, because in a month, let's say, if we get another big spike because everybody's out partying and stuff, then I would say no.
Yeah.
Like pretty much instantly. If there's any more like spike whatsoever, I think that they're done for like a long time. But if it doesn't get much worse, because it is flattening and also going down a bit, the new cases at least, then I think that they'll go back.
Have you heard anything about Iowa State or Minnesota?
They got their first coronavirus case confirmed of a student. That's all I know.
I know in Minnesota or MSU that they're already allowing professors to decide if they're going to do online in the fall or if they want to do it in person, determining what the circumstances at that time would be.
So it would be based on like the professor and their comfort level.
So they
level.
Can do online if they want. I would say is don't get complacent.
that was a good discussion, I think. And I think it's interesting because I think a lot of people have maybe lost their job and that kind of thing. But another group of people is students, and that's been really highly impacted. And so I just wanted to kind of get your guys' perspective. So thank you for talking with me down in the basement here.
Yeah. Nice basement.
Yeah. And we are all going to go get some lunch. So we will see you next week with Rachel. We'll be back and we'll have a good old analysis of reality television. Is it real? Is it fake? Obviously, it's not quite as real as they might claim.
Well, how can they put reality in there?
Yeah.
Reality is...
Seems like a misnomer.
Reality
real,
is...
Real idiots.
it's what are they called? Relative. Reality is relative. So. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Stay dreaming and stay scheming.
That's another podcast that I don't want to get copyrighted. Bye.